hurts me to turn that pod that music down. It hurts me. That is such a great piece of music. That's just, thank you, sir. Yeah. I appreciate that. A little bit of Talking Heads to bring you back to More Than Money. The only thing that annoys me about Talking Heads is that that's what they refer to the Sunday morning political shows now. Well, the Talking Heads, oh, please. You guys, what a bunch of goofs. 610-720, welcome back to More Than Money, top of the hour. You've got Gene Dickinson. He's got 780 years of experience. Yeah. And happy to serve you this morning. It's January the 27th, and beautiful. Gosh, the morning's so beautiful. Now, I know the forecast today is in the 50s, if I remember correctly. It did not start that way this morning. I had 18 at the house this morning, and I'm thinking, dude, that's a long way from 50. So I'm guessing that by the time I walk out here in an hour or so, that it will be significantly warmer. I hope that you enjoy a great, great weekend and spend it with somebody you love. 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. In general, the market's fantastic for the month of January. Yesterday was another remarkable day. Apparently, the theme this morning is circling back, and I have to keep circling back to ideas as they occur to me. One of my longest-standing clients, a gentleman that I have great fun with, and every time we're together, his wife, I'm sure, spends most of our meetings just shaking her head at the two of us being goofs. We've been together a long time, and there's a lot of the financial details are rather easily communicated because we've done this. We've done quarterly meetings probably 100 times. I mean, it's a long and lots of information. So we share amusing stories with each other, and we have some fun. But he had a very interesting question. He said, it seems that the stock market volatility is coming back, that the ups and downs, the roller coasters are coming back. And I said, I'm not really sure that I would agree, but I'm curious, why do you say that? He said, well, it seems that stock market performance on a daily basis, the Dow Industrials, that we're seeing more plus 100 days, more minus 100 days, plus 120, minus 120. And I absolutely understand. First of all, he's correct. Absolutely correct. But we needed to put it into context. And what I did was I took him back to 2009. Do you remember roughly what the stock market measured by the Dow, what it bottomed out at in March of 2009? It was roughly 7,000. It is currently approaching 27,000. So if you had a day in the stock market back in 2009 where the market went down 100 points, it was going down about, what, 1.5%, roughly. And if the market is at 27,000 and it goes down 100 points, it's going down roughly 0.4%. So the difference, the points exactly the same, the percentage, the impact, the volatility, measurement is cut by what, 75 or 80%. It's far less volatile than it appears, because we're using raw numbers instead of percentages. It has long been suggested that just having the Dow, for example, continue to just grow isn't terribly instructive or informative, that it would be far better if we had some sort of inflation adjusted, perhaps, numbers so that we can compare numbers from 10 years ago or 3 years ago. But it is what it is. So we have to have the understanding that the numbers, the raw numbers, may not be the impact of those raw numbers may not be what they appear to be. Because 100 points up or down on the Dow today is far less significant than it was 10 years ago. Does that kind of help? Good. 610-720-7900. Gene at askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. Very good. Young lady writes, God bless her. I lost my husband in October. He was 79. His struggle against cancer lasted almost 4 years. In those years, he insisted on taking the time, insisted is underlined, on taking the time to show me how to take over the family finances, our family finances. I hadn't really been involved until he got sick, and then he insisted. I went with him to our financial advisor meetings. I worked through our income taxes with him. We met with an attorney to get our wills in order. I really didn't like doing any of that, and I was obviously very, very sad at the reason. I just simply didn't like why I was doing it. Now that he is gone, I am so relieved he made me go through all that. I've been handling all the day-to-day finances, paying the bills, etc., just like he showed me. We've already got his estate squared away. I'm confident I'll be okay with the income taxes, and our financial advisor has been a big help, and I'm certainly not clueless anymore. Well, wow, good for you. I had to come to this place because my husband made me do it. Please tell the wives in your audience to get involved before they have no choice. One more thing. My daughter told me how proud she was I've been able to do this, and that meant the world to me. Well, first of all, God bless you, and our heart goes out to you at your loss. That in and of itself is a tribute to your courage. Lots of folks, when they have that kind of a loss, they give up. Lots of folks. Courage is not, they say the word, you say the word courage and battle comes to mind. Perhaps someone who was courageous in the war, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, etc., our heroes. How about the first responders? It takes great courage to wade into a circumstance where you know you could very well lose your life to help protect others, whether you're a law enforcement or a firefighter, EMTs. That's kind of the image of courage. I have seen tremendous courage in the folks that we care for in our practice. In ways just like this. This woman lost her husband of decades and had the courage to face that loss, learn new skills, get comfortable doing things that she had never been comfortable doing until she was well past age 70, and can get up on a morning like this morning and look at a blue sky in the middle of January that's going to be 45, 50, 55 degrees and appreciate it. And appreciate that her daughter admires her. She can do that. That takes great courage. That takes great courage. I am absolutely in awe of her courage. I am beyond proud of her for what she has accomplished and the skills she has picked up. And her advice to all of you listening, whether you are the wife or you are the husband, is spot on. It's perfection. Don't wait until you have no choice. Don't do that to yourselves. Learn, pay attention, share, become skilled, become informed. I pray. You never need to use them. You never need to use the skills. That the two of you live a long and happy and healthy life until the very last moment, and then you pull the Thelma and Louise and exit this crazy planet together, hand in hand at, 99, maybe 100. That's a nice round number anyway. But that's not highly likely. It just isn't. So you need to be prepared. Young lady, I'm so proud of you. It's hard for me to tell you, but it is an amazing story that you tell. Thank you for sharing it. Very, very kind. 610-720-7900. Gene@askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. One of our most engaged listeners writes, I just heard you advising a gentleman about the need to monitor the activity in his 401k plan, and I could not agree more. I have my 401k invested extremely aggressively for someone my age to take advantage of the Trump bump, which is not the same as Ivanka being pregnant. That's not the same. It's totally different. It doesn't mean that I set it and forget it. I spend about 10 minutes every day at lunch and review my accounts and the news of the day. And I keep a spreadsheet of my balances and put the data in a graph. Now, to be fair, this gentleman's an accountant by training. So spreadsheets and graphs, and that's nature of the beast. It's not 100% mandatory. But to be fair, because I'm a financial geek in my own right, it's very, very useful. For some folks, seeing the graph, that's all you really need to see. A lot of folks are visual. A lot of folks can learn what they need to learn just by glancing at a picture, as opposed to I read four pages and then I read it again. And maybe the third time, because I don't know. It just doesn't sink in. But a picture can often do that. The day I see the first hiccups in the market, I'm prepared to pull the ripcord and start moving my investments from equities to interest-based investments. Like the commercial says, future me will thank present me for taking the time. That's very cool. Very, very cool indeed. For some folks, monitoring on a daily basis, as Jim does, very, very wise, and provides them a tremendous amount of confidence that they're on top of things. For most folks, the gentleman that we were talking to earlier about monitoring and his wife's got 15 or 20 years to go, do they need to monitor on a daily basis? Probably not. Once a month, probably fine. If they're working with a financial advisor, they would likely want to meet once a quarter or so. And so that would give them over the next 15 years, 60 or so bites at the apple of making adjustments up, down, sideways to kind of keep things on track. The importance of monitoring and making adjustments is not an attempt to time the market. Hey, I think I know when the market's going to go down, so I'm going to sell. I think I know when the market's going to go up, so I'm going to buy. That's timing the market. That is not feasible. It doesn't work. There isn't anyone who has ever successfully done that over time, because if they had, they would have all the money, because they would be skinning the rest of us right down to our skivvies, and they'd have all the money. No one does. Hence, nobody knows how to do that. Is it possible to call market movements occasionally correct? Sure. Lots of folks have done that. Consistently correct, in my opinion, impossible. In my opinion, impossible. Charlatans claim it. Thieves and scoundrels and frauds. But if you're basing your financial future on your ability to correctly predict the markets, sad for you. I feel terrible for your financial future, because your future me is going to kick your present me's butt. because you're just not doing it appropriately. However, monitoring, sure. Adjusting, sure. Evolving, sure. Further down the road you go, the more you know, and that serves you well. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Gentleman writes, my wife has an inherited IRA for which she needs to take an RMD. Very important point for most of you. You've never heard that rule before. Hey, you inherited an IRA, unless it came from your spouse, you must take RMDs if you're 12 years old, if you're 20 years old, 30 years old. You go, whoa, 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 I'm not 59 and a half. I'm not 70. I don't have to. Oh, yeah, you do. That's the rule if you inherited an IRA. The IRA is invested in two Vanguard Lifestyle Market Index funds. The IRA's value about $30,000. Recent RMDs about $1,000. Understanding the RMD needs to be made each year by the end of the year, and also understanding no one's able to time the market. Oh, he's listening. Nice, nice. Does it make sense to take the RMD at a time of the year if and when we feel the funds are at a higher value compared to a lower value? All right, that's fudging a little bit. You can't time the market, but I think it's a little higher versus, okay. Assuming the funds make capital distributions near the end of the year, say mid-December, would it make sense to consider taking the RMD after the distributions are made by the fund to maximize the distribution made? Very, very good question. I'm teasing a little bit because the theory that you would take the money out when you feel the market's higher versus lower, that's your guess is as good as mine. If you had taken it out, if we use last year as an example, if you had taken it out at any time before the last possible moment, you lost money, or you didn't lose money. You didn't make as much as you might have made. Pretty simple stuff. The market went up the entire year. If we go back to I'm going in by memory now, I think 2011 was the last negative year. You should have taken it out in January because it went down thereafter. 80% of the years, 80%, it's a rough number, but it's a solid number. The stock market goes up. Net, it goes up. But there's absolutely no barometer that says 80% of the time it goes up between January and December, that December's higher than January. On average, it might be. Maybe June was the highest number, and it declined thereafter. There simply isn't a way to tell. So the real question here is, when do you take an RMD? Well, there's a couple guidelines. Number one, when you need it. When you need it. For some folks, it sounds like in this case, it's almost an annoyance. They inherited the IRA. They don't really want to take the RMD. They kind of have to. Well, if you don't have to take the money, I think you are best served. You will likely be best served to leave it in until December every year, because that means you'll have the highest chance of gaining those 80% of the years where the market's higher at the end of the year than it started. If, on the other hand, you do need the money, and for a lot of folks who are taking RMDs, they absolutely do. Some of them time their distribution to what they know is going to be an expense. We get lots of folks who take their RMDs in September. Anybody have any idea why? Real estate taxes, exactly. Goodness, the bills come out in August, and you look and you go, oh, that stinks. Oh, you know what? We'll take our RMD. That'll take care of it. Lots of folks take it out beginning of the year and transfer it to their church. They make their annual contribution to their church in January. So if you're in church and the plate's being passed and somebody pushes it right on past themselves to the next person, first of all, don't be so nosy and check whether they're putting something in or not. But number two, you might be looking at somebody who's already made their entire year contribution because they were wise enough to use their RMDs. Or in many churches today, they might be doing it electronically. A lot of folks have signed up for automatic contributions from their checkbooks. So, first of all, don't be so nosy. But second of all, don't jump to conclusions. There's people that are, the plate goes right on past them, and they are very, very generous indeed. Lots of folks, by the way, not so much inherited IRAs, because this is $1,000. It would be, what, $85, $90 a month? Not a substantial sum of money, perhaps. But for folks who are taking RMDs, typically from their own IRAs at age 70 or beyond, they very often will set these up as like paychecks. So if they have to take out, you'll see why I'm using simple math. If their RMD is $24,000 a year, maybe they could set it up as a monthly. What would that be? Carry the aught minus the integer square root of. It's about $2,000 a month, roughly. And because most custodians can set it up so that income taxes can be taken out automatically, withheld, they can have their federal tax withheld, direct deposit to their checkbook, just like a paycheck. Not a bad idea at all. So choosing RMD patterns, in some cases personal choice. In some cases, practical matter. Hey, when do I need the money? Hey, I'm going on vacation. I'm going to need a chunk for a vacation. Hey, the kitchen needs to be redone. I need the money. All those work. And if you don't have any of those kind of driving your choice, December works. December works. If you do it in December every year, on average, you'll be just fine. 610-720-7900. Gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. I'll be taking a road trip this afternoon, going out to York. One of my daughter Alyssa's friends, who graduated 2 years ago, is now an assistant basketball coach, and her team is traveling north from the Alexandria, Virginia area into York, and they're playing, I'm not really sure who they're playing. My wife will call me with an address. I'll just show up. I feel like Mission Impossible sometimes. Just Mr. Phelps, just go where you're told, when you're told. And by the way, if you get caught, we're going to disavow any knowledge at all. Nice piece of music. We're going to give you the whole song, Carly Simon, great piece of music. We'll give you that at the top of the hour. But this is not the top of the hour. This is a half-hour break. That means you've got a half an hour left. To be perfectly honest, you're going to have 19 minutes left in the coming up half hour to have your questions asked and answered. So call 610. Somebody's calling already. Thank you. 610-720-7900. We'll take your calls after this on More Than Money. You watched yourself. Welcome back to the home of explanations. We are specialists in giving explanations. As a matter of fact, I want to talk for a moment about how that happens in a More Than Money setting, because it's quite different than I think many people suspect. As you might suspect, we get to meet lots and lots of folks. Lots and lots of you are already part of our More Than Money family, very personally, very specifically. Lots of you have not yet had that opportunity, that taken that advantage of that we offer every week. Come and talk to us. There's absolutely no charge. Good morning. Some folks are absolutely shocked to find that the vast majority of the time that we spend whether it's my time, Mark's time, Bill, Daryl, Diane, Connie, Sue, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is spent understanding where you're coming from, what your situation is. A lot of folks come, well, kind of like where we started today's show. Should I refinance my house? Simple question. No, it's not. I mean, the question is simple enough, but providing you with a reasonable, appropriate, intelligent, useful answer. No, that's not simple. Requires a lot of context, a lot of background, if you went to the doctor and you simply said, I've got a cough, give me a prescription for cough syrup. And if the doctor went, okay, this is really good cough syrup. Let me explain to you why this is really good cough syrup. Let me explain to you why this is going to keep your cough down. Let me explain to you why this cough syrup is the best cough. I've done a lot of homework on cough syrup. Did I ever explain to you about like the medical, the chemical, the coughs? If a doctor did that, that would be nothing short of malpractice. Spending 95% of the time explaining to you, Lucy, about a treatment before he or she even has a clue whether it's the cough they should be worried about or whether the cough is a symptom of something far, far worse, or whether the cough is literally nothing. Or lots of cough syrups have as a main ingredient alcohol. You think you might want to ask a question about the person's personal habits and maybe if they're in a 12-step program. You say, whoa, that took a sharp turn. Yeah, that's human beings. We take sharp turns. So when folks walk through the door, I think they are often remarkably surprised at how much time and effort is taken to understand them first. And you know what's really kind of cool is that once, whether it's 20 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes, once some basic information is understood, and some folks are remarkable, they come to us with such great detail. Once we understand you, the answers are easy. And until we do, the answers are really hard. Because, you know, when you start with it depends, then there's 100 answers, any one of which could be right, almost all of which are going to be wrong. So don't start with it depends. Start with asking a question, kind of like this. 610-720-7900. We've got Rudy on the phone. Rudy, how may we serve you?
Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, sir.
I want to thank you and Mr. Mark Basak because you guys helped me and followed up on my case. And you guys don't make a penny of me, you know, and I really thank you from my heart because you guys are doing it without even wondering how much you're going to make of me or whether, you know, anything going to be made, any money, because other financial advisors, they don't even try to help you before they even know how it's going to benefit them, how much they're going to make of you, even if it's even worth it to even deal with you before even they try to help you. And you guys helped me without even making a penny of me, and not one time, more than three times Mark helped me, and you know, your office, and you know, that tells a lot about you guys and about, you know, your nature, and I really appreciate it, man. And you and it's kind of rare or even unheard of these days for financial advisors, you know, to help anybody free, or, you know, I mean, when they know they're not going to benefit. And I really appreciate it, man. I thank you, and thank Mark. Thank you, Gene. God bless you, man. Thank you.
Rudy, you're very, very kind. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you, sir. That's very, very kind. Please don't give me too much credit. First of all, it makes me really uncomfortable. People say nice things because I know who I really am. So,
can I do a musical clue?
No. No, if John plays You're So Vain one more time, he's... Rudy's absolutely right. We welcome lots of folks into our office. Mark Basak is one of the most knowledgeable people about Social Security, but he's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, Mike Pompei on the insurance side, all of our advisors, they're all wonderful, and they do offer a tremendous amount of information. And yes, there are occasions. Perhaps Rudy is one of those occasions where there's no profit to be made. But there's we can help. We can help, but there's no profit to be made, but we can help. What kind of a business model is that? Well, to be perfectly blunt, it's a kick-ass business model. Because if your philosophy is more than money, there are lots of ways to profit other than cash flow. Rudy's kind words notwithstanding, there might be somebody that hears that and goes, wow, that's the kind of person, that's the kind of company I would like to work with. And maybe they show up, they don't know Rudy. So it's not like Rudy has to pay anything. He already has. Some folks call it karma. I've spent a big chunk of my life studying not just my Christian faith, but Eastern religions and philosophies. And most folks just flat out don't understand karma. But it's a cool phrase. And most folks, the common interpretation is if you do good things, it'll come back to help. And if you do bad things, come back to haunt you. And that's close enough. That's close enough. And we just figure if we do enough, if we just continue to do enough really good things, help enough people, continue to help and help and help, we should do just fine. And I'm here to tell you, we do just fine. So, Rudy, thank you. Thank you very much. Very, very kind. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Young lady writes, oh, goodness. I might have to sit down. First, may I say thank you for your time on Saturdays to provide others with such valuable information. We have learned more about not only the importance of financial planning, but Social Security and insurance and others as well. Your service is greatly appreciated. You're very kind. Thank you. When seeking a financial advisor, is there a difference between using a firm such as MTM? Now, in parentheses, she says, outside of the fact that I know your firm would be very trustworthy, valuable, and loyal to your clients. Well, thank you. Yes. And we'll take all those things. Versus a firm such as Janney Montgomery Scott, working with a firm like a Janney, are they neutral to the client's best interests, or are they limited to only offerings provided by that firm? And then she goes on to say, may you and your family have a happy, healthy new year filled with many blessings. Be well and travel safe. Well, thank you very, very much. Jeez, two in a row. First of all, you're very, very kind. Is there a difference between firms? The answer is yes. And you can use Janney Montgomery Scott as an example. You could use Wells Fargo as an example. You could use Bank of America, Merrill Lynch as an example. You could use lots of companies as examples. And you could use MTM Financial Group, More Than Money Advisors, as an example. And you could use lots of other independent financial advisors as examples as well. And the primary difference is culture. And that... maybe the better word is philosophy. The primary difference is philosophy. Sadly, many of the major corporations have as their fundamental philosophy, we're here to turn a profit. And they define a profit very simply, money through the door. We bring money through the door, we spend less than we make, we turn a profit. So some companies have policies, philosophies, that they believe best serve their interest of creating a profit. Some major companies, if you have investable assets, money that you can share with them, less than $500,000, they will not speak to you. There are firms that if you have less than $1 million, they will not speak to you. They have a policy. They have a philosophy that says, unless you have, in their opinion, a minimum amount that most Americans would look at and go, minimum? That's like a huge sum of money. Unless you have that amount, they don't feel they can be profitable. So they don't see a reason why they would serve you. Now, to be blunt, Janie Montgomery Scott, I have no clue about their minimums. I'm not addressing them specifically. I'm addressing the generic. The generic, and it's got nothing, it is not restricted to very large companies. There are some fairly small companies that are every bit as, in my opinion, myopic, every bit as misguided by focusing only on cash flow. Let me give you an example. There was a gentleman in our office just a short while ago. We've known for a couple of years. If I were employed by a firm that had those philosophies of large minimums, I would not be even permitted to speak to him because his current investments with us are under $40,000. So $500,000, no. $1 million, not, please. Why are we even talking to him? Well, over the last 4 or 5 years, this gentleman has sent us at least 5 of his friends as clients. And they're all wonderful people and great clients. Oh, and he was in recently because shortly he will retire. And his 401k and his pension, et cetera, will be over $1 million. So he finally qualifies to be serviced by companies that believe they're very, very important and they can only serve very, very substantial clients. Finally, he qualifies. They will never ever have that opportunity because we chose to serve him when most firms would not. Because we have been loyal to him, he will be loyal to us. That's a business decision. That's a philosophy. That's a karmic solution. That's what goes around comes around. You fill in the blanks. Use any what do they call them? Common sense explanations for it. It worked. Reap what you sow. There's a scriptural reference. How about that? Might be the only one I got. that's it's something that we're committed to. Now I absolutely want to be balanced in my assessment. Companies have philosophies. There's no question about it. Individual financial advisors have philosophies as well. So you might very well find within one of the larger firms, one of the more corporate firms, a financial advisor has a tremendous more than money philosophy. You might very well find that and be well served. But to be fair, again, most of the folks who have those kind of philosophies tend not to battle inside companies that kind of go against their grain. They tend to find places where they can be comfortable. Gosh, that was long-winded. I hope it helped. 610-720-7900. I hope that did help just a little tiny bit. Speaking of a little tiny bit, there are questions that seem small, and when the discussion starts with kind of a small question, hey, should I refinance my house? Hey, you know, how often should I review my will? You know, I drew my will. The kids were young. It's 25 years old. Oh, my gosh. I guess I should review it. When a conversation kind of starts with a small question, because I've been doing this for 780 years, I can almost be guaranteed that there's a huge question behind it. So if you find yourself in a situation where perhaps you are, you do have the opportunity to meet with a More Than Money advisor, and whether it's Gene or Bill or Mark or Daryl, or somebody that we might hire here shortly, because we've got a couple folks that we're talking to, and we're growing, and our build out on our space is largely complete. Lots of details coming together. The philosophy is the same. And the philosophy is we care way more about you than we do about your cash flow. We care way more about being with you for the next 20 years than we are about turning a profit in the next 20 months. And to be fair, we're just flat out blessed. Folks, we have a minute or so, 2 minutes or so, until we share with you a little bit of music from Carly Simon. And I want to make sure that you receive my invitation. And my invitation to you is really very, very simple. If you would like to be able to have the same kind of an experience that Rudy has had, or that Lynn has had, or some of the other folks who have been kind this morning to share their stories with us, all you have to do is ask. There's no cost for a consultation. There's no obligation. There's no pressure. If you would like your personal financial picture reviewed, if you'd like your retirement plan reviewed, if you'd like your 401k plan reviewed, your wills, your estate plan, your insurances reviewed, your Social Security strategy reviewed, if you would like any or all of those, all you need to do is ask. And you ask simply. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. You can check out our website and use the contact information there, morethanmoneyonline.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. And you can absolutely go old school. We're an old school kind of company, so you can go old school on us and give us a phone call. How about that? 610-746-7007. Again, 610-746-7007. All weekend long, Electrons will pick up your voicemails, and we'll get back to you on Monday. And if you want to talk to a real live terrific human being, call back Monday after 8:30 in the morning, and there's going to be a whole passel of them there ready to take your calls. Folks, thanks so very much for sharing everything that you have this morning with me, and we'll see you next time on More Than Money.